This morning, the message that Lord laid on my heart to share goes very well with what Brother Dan already shared this morning, and I just thank him for that. I've titled my message this morning, Do You Have an Eternal Purpose? An Eternal Purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Usually, something that is purposed in man's heart, man or woman's heart, will usually come to pass a lot of times because we put purpose into it. We put time into it. We put effort into it. And it says, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so today I want to encourage you to live your Christian life with purpose. Purpose to work in the kingdom of God. Purpose is to have intention, to have an objective. The reason for which something is done, made, used, an intended or desired result, end, aim, goal, determination, resoluteness. You know, you have a purpose. You know, some people, you see them walking around. You see they have no purpose. They're just meandering around. You know, as you observe out in the world. But then you see a man walking with purpose. He's walking, and you can see that man has a purpose in life. Others are just meandering around aimlessly. You know, but God wants us to have a purpose when we serve Him. Not just being walking around, meandering around aimlessly, don't know where you're headed, don't know what your goal is. As Dan shared this morning, Noah walked with God. He had a purpose, and that purpose was walking with God. You take, in 1 Kings 5:5, it says, Solomon purposed to build an house unto the name of the Lord. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 16, Boaz told his reapers to let some grain fall on purpose so that Ruth would have more to glean. Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to eat the king's meat. So normally, most people are able to do what they purpose to do in their hearts. And we live in a world today where people, they purpose to become wealthy. People purpose to become the best athlete. People purpose to succeed in the business world. People purpose to do things to fulfill their flesh. But God, I want to show you today in God's Word, God has a desire that we have a purpose to serve Him. People have a bucket list of things they would like to do someday. But God is in need of men and women who purpose in their heart to be used in the kingdom of God. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, or nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. So Paul is saying here that the things that he purposed to do, they weren't after the flesh, and he wasn't all over the board. It wasn't yea, yea, or nay, nay. But he goes, but as God is true, our word to you was not yea and nay. It was with purpose. It was yea. It was not yes and nay. It was not here. It wasn't there. But it was with purpose, one goal, one direction. And I had to think, you know, of an example we had in our midst here, of Brother Joe Mast. He's getting older in life, and he wants to do something more within his life than just continue with working. And so he's going to seek the Lord to do something in the kingdom of God. And what did he do? He purposed it in his heart, and the Lord opened doors. It came to pass. And so that's my heart today. If we purpose to serve the Lord and walk with the Lord has things for us that in the kingdom of God and for his service. He will open doors. He will use us if we purpose to walk with him, as we heard this morning. The men and women in the Bible who God used had purpose. It didn't just happen because God made it happen. They had purpose. God saw that these men and women had a purposed heart to advance his kingdom. And if we're going to work in the kingdom of God in our generation, it is going to take some purpose in our hearts. If we're going to have converts to the gospel, you know, it's going to take some purpose. If we're going to make disciples out of the converts, it's going to take purpose. If we're going to, we don't just homeschool, just to homeschool. There's a purpose behind it. It's because we don't want our children's minds polluted with the things and lies that are being taught at the public schools today. And so we don't just walk around aimlessly without purpose. We have purpose and walk with purpose. And I want to point you out to you first, our God that we serve is a God with purpose. He does things on purpose. In the Old Testament, you'll find that God purposes to destroy the wicked over and over. And do you think you can live in wickedness and somehow escape God's purpose? Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 29 says, "And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant." And so there the Lord purposes that he is going to destroy the wicked. He purposes it. Do we believe that it will happen? We've seen it as we read through the Old Testament. We've seen it happen and over again. And it's going to happen again. We heard about that this morning in 2 Peter there, where he's coming back and everything's going to be destroyed. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 23. We see another one of God's purposes. And we can make some application to it, to our own lives. Isaiah chapter 23, verses 6 through 9. Verse 6, "Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princesses, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring it into contempt, all the honorable of the earth." And so here we see that the Lord hath purposed in his heart to stain the pride of all glory. What does the Bible say? That what goes before a fall? Pride. And so here, God has purposed in his heart, has purposed that he's going to stain the proud. He's going to humble them. You know, the James says, "God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And so he resists. He's putting. He's not going to let pride take over. what happened to Satan. He was lifted up in pride, and God brought stain. He purposed that he's going to bring stain to, he's going to stain the pride of all glory. He's going to cover it up because, you know, when we stain something, you know, it brings a different color to it. It brings, but God hates pride. He's going to stain it. He's going to put a blot on it or whatever you want to call it and bring it down. He's not going to share his glory. He has purposed that in his heart. Another one is Isaiah chapter 46. Here's a really good one. He purposes to bring salvation to the wicked. Isaiah 46, verse 8 says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be afar off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." And so here we see that God has purpose. You know, he recognizes the wickedness of man. He sees their need for salvation, and he has purpose that he will bring salvation. And praise the Lord, he has brought it in Jesus Christ. He has brought salvation to you and I. He purposed to do that because he loved us. And so God is a God of purpose. And so I praise the Lord for that. And now we turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Excuse me. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." And so, here we see that God have made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And so, you know, God has also purposed to destroy the wicked. He has purposed to bring redemption. And so each one of us will experience one of those purposes that God purposed for you and I. It's our choice which one we want to purpose. And so we turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. He says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so here we see in verse 10, sometimes I find it hard to grasp my mind around verse 10. God has purposed that we as a church would know the powers in heavenly places. those powers that God, you know, Jesus says when he ascended into the heavens, he says, go ye therefore, all power is given unto me. That power, you know, God has purposed that we would know that power, that we would walk in that power. God has purposed it. And do we realize the powers that are available to us through Jesus Christ? We have all authority. We have all power. It says here that to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. I don't believe that this is talking about the powers of darkness here that are in Ephesians chapter 6. I believe these are are good powers that God wants the church to know and experience and to live in them, to walk in victory, to walk in to walk with God like we heard this morning. God has purposed it. He wants us to know these things. And so I want to encourage you in this morning to seek God with a purpose heart that you truly may know, you and I may truly know these powers, and we can help each other walk. There's power available to live the Christian life. And so, are there things as a church that we are missing because our purposes are not in tune with God's purpose? Thank you, brother. And here's where I got my title in verse 11. Do you have an eternal purpose? When Jesus walked this earth, he had a purpose. He had a goal. He had reason for everything he did. He had something in front of him to accomplish it. And this is the purpose in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was Jesus manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. And so as I read those verses in Ephesians chapter 3 there, verse 10, that God wants us to know those powers, that we, you know, we can be light, we can destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. And Jesus had a purpose to accomplish this. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 50, some powerful verses here. Isaiah 50, verse 4 through 7. Verse 4. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We heard about that this morning in children's lesson. He wakeneth morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And so this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And then it says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And so here we see the Lord had a purpose, and he set his face like a flint, it says. He had a purpose. He set his face like a flint. And this purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. And so, that was his purpose. And if you set your face like a flint to the eternal things of God, the Lord will give you a tongue of the learned, and make you know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, like we read there in verse 4. Remember Peter and John, how the leaders perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them. And so the Lord, hath given me the tongue of the learned, there it says, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, here's some of the powers that the God wants us to know as a church, how he wants to give us tongues that we may minister grace one to another, how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And so I just encourage each one of you, as you seek God with an eternal purpose, if you, I know many of us claim, you know, we don't know what to say sometimes, but you know, as we seek the eternal purposes of God, God will give us that. God will give us grace. God will give us words to speak. And so I just encourage you to come to God and seek his, come with a purposed heart. Peter and John, they are examples of verse 4 because they had an eternal purpose and they were not ashamed. Jesus Christ had a purpose when he walked this earth, and that was to destroy the works of the devil. And if we have truly experienced the purpose of God in redemption and have the Spirit of the living God within us, then we will also be a people with a purpose to destroy the works of the devil, a purpose to be active in the kingdom of God, a purpose to make disciples, a purpose not to go after the flesh. You know, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he says, when I was thus minded, did I use lightness? Was I fluffy? No, he had purpose. It wasn't all fluffy. Or the things I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? No, he did not purpose the things he did to please his flesh. He did not walk around aimlessly. His heart was fully engaged. It was in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I walk aimlessly through life without an eternal purpose, we are not going to destroy the works of the devil. You will not be a city set on a hill. Without an eternal purpose, the devil will destroy you and cause havoc in your life. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy, the scripture says. And in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he has many instructions and warnings to Timothy from Paul to stand fast against apostasy and false teachers in the church. I'm just going to read some of those and then make just want to use it for an example here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, going to read couple verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. We jump down to verse 6. He also says, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. These didn't have no purpose. Paul is one with purpose, and we're going to see that here in a little bit. And we jump down to verse 19. Again, he's exhorting Timothy, a young man. He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So here, Paul's pointing out people who did not have a purpose. They made shipwreck of their faith. And he's exhorting Timothy, you know, walk with purpose. We jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We jump over to chapter 5, verse 15. He says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So these didn't have a purpose. They were turned aside. We jump over to chapter 6, verse 10. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted it after, they have erred from the faith. See, their purpose was on money, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so their purpose wasn't on the Lord Jesus Christ and after God. It was they erred from the faith. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So here we have two men who didn't have a purpose. They turned away from Paul and his and what he was teaching. We jump over to chapter 4, verse 16. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So here were, again, men that had no purpose. But we jump back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Notice this verse. Here's what Paul says about himself. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. So Paul is telling Timothy, you know my life. You've seen my purpose. You've seen my walk. You've seen my faith. You've seen my charity. You've seen my patience. You know my purpose. You know I have a passion for the Lord and the eternal things of God. You know you have fully seen it. And it is for the kingdom of God. And so our purposes, you know, whether we want them to or not, but other people do see what our true purpose in life is. People are able to see that. Paul has says, thou hast fully known my purpose. You have fully known it. You know, it's on display for you to see. You can see what my purpose and passion is. And so what is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you, what does your life and my life say to others? Is it about this life, or is it about, is my purpose an eternal one? Is it for the kingdom of God, or do you please your own flesh? To be a Christian without a spiritual purpose won't work. Let's look at the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. We have this account in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus gives some men some talents. It says he gave five men, or it says he gave his servants, verses 14 through 30. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And so here we have this man. He had a purpose in life. You know, you think of people that invest in the stock market there in Wall Street. I don't know how it all works. I'm not into that. But, you know, they go there with a purpose to gain. They go with a purpose to multiply. They go, otherwise they stay away. If that's not their goal, it's pointless in going. But they go because they have a purpose, and that is to get gain. And that's what the kingdom of God's purpose is in the kingdom of God, that people would be saved and that they would be discipled and that they would be made followers and that they would multiply and make others like themselves, like the Apostle Paul did. And so here we see this one, he had a purpose. He gained five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, when he gained five others there, I believe these are, this is a parable, and so I believe this is the souls of men. And, you know, he helped destroy the works. I'm open here for correction. I don't know what all this means, the talents, but anyway, he gained five more. He was effective in the kingdom of God. He was able to destroy some of the works of the devil. He was able, the purpose that Jesus Christ came into this world. And then we read the next one, verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so I want to encourage, you know, there's some people who are more gifted than others, who are able to do more. But, you know, here is one with two versus the one who had five. But yet he had a purpose to serve in the kingdom of God. He had a purpose to be fruitful and to multiply. You know, and the next one here only had one. I believe if he'd have been faithful and just gained one more talent, he would have heard the same words that the others did. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And so this man, he had no purpose. He just, he got the talent. He went and dug a hole, put it in, done, laid back, and done. You know, there was no purpose there. He just lazy, slothful, you could say. Look what Jesus told him. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here, this man here had no purpose. He was slothful. Jesus called him wicked. And so my heart this morning is to encourage you to serve the Lord with a purpose heart, a heart that is full of purpose to destroy the works of the devil. Two had purpose and one didn't. You know, Daniel, he was a young man. You know, I think of you young people here. Daniel, he was a young man. It would have been easy for him to go along with and enjoy the king's meat. But he feared his God, and he had a purpose. It says, and he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. You know, his parents weren't around to watch him. He wasn't going to have to give account to his parents. His parents weren't out of the picture. He was a slave. He was a captive. And so he could have easily done it. He could have been okay in man's eyes. But he had a purpose in his heart that he was going to please his God. He didn't, you know, and that's my heart this morning, that we need to have a purposed heart to serve, an eternal purpose to serve a holy God. Paul says, I'll just repeat again, thou hast fully known my purpose, he told Timothy. Thou hast fully known. It's evident. Our life is evidence of where our passion and our purpose is. Our children, they need to see purpose in us as parents' lives for the kingdom of God in our lives. Some passion, some fire. Men and women who God used in the Bible had purpose and didn't hide their talents. They set their face like a flint, like the captain of their salvation, even though they had onslaught from the enemy of their soul. You know, as we go through life, you know, the enemy's going to try to frustrate our purposes, our goals for our family, for the church. And I have an example in Ezra chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, and in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem." You know, doesn't that sound familiar? You know, we set goals and we set purposes in our homes, and it just seems that enemy comes in and wants to frustrate those things, you know, and we set goals as a church and things, but seems the enemy wants to come in and frustrate those purposes. And that's what happened here. It says they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus. And that's a picture of Satan. He's out to frustrate our purposes, to keep us from accomplishing what God desires for us to accomplish. And so I share this. It's a picture of the church and Satan trying to frustrate the church's purposes. You know, what are the things that Satan sets up today to frustrate the church's purposes? Excuse me. You know, and I believe and some of them are just everyday things of life that hinder us from walking with God. One of the third soil condition says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares of this life and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." The cares of this life have a way of frustrating our purposes. We get busy and we get caught up with work. You know, as we heard this morning, Ray, we do need to work and provide, but yet, you know, I believe we could probably do with less than the pleasures and riches. They have a way of frustrating the purposes, our eternal purposes. We read there in Ezra chapter 6 there, it says, "They wrote they unto him an accusation against inhabitants." That's another thing that Satan uses to frustrate the church and to frustrate our homes, is accusations. Revelation says that the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He says, "Woe unto you that are on earth." And so those are ways that, I'm sure there's other ways. Maybe some of you have some thoughts of, you know, what are some things that Satan likes to throw at the church and throw at our homes to frustrate our purposes like he did here? Any thoughts? I'm sorry. We'll do it tomorrow. Do it later. What are some things that what are some things that Satan tries to throw at us to frustrate our purposes, you know, our eternal purposes towards God. You know, Brother Elson shared, we'll do it tomorrow. It's putting it off. You know, I'm guilty of that one. I'll confess. I have goals in life, and I'll need to get this done, and then I'll do it. Conflict in relationships. Divisions. Distractions. I'm sorry? Payments. Others? Sicknesses, that's right. So all those things can frustrate the purposes, our purposes. And so let's just... you know, even through those things that come, you know, let's, my encouragement this morning is to have a purposed heart after God, an eternal purpose, purpose in your heart. It's, as we read in the parable of the talents there, that those without purpose, according to that, are not going to make it. It's going to take an eternal purpose. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. John says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Paul says, thou hast fully known my purpose. Do we all fully know each other's purpose in life? Our life does show where our purpose is or where what's important to us. You know, recently I heard of a pastor who had a message on prayer, and he asked the congregation on a scale of 1 to 10 how important prayer is to everyone. And everyone immediately said it's 10. You know, that's how important it is. And then he asked them, if it's that important, why on a Wednesday night prayer meeting are only the two front benches full? And see, our life does show where our purpose is. And so in our physical work, we have people compliment us on our good work, and you get it done fast. But in the kingdom of God, we walk aimlessly. I'm this way, that way, not sure. But we need purpose. And so as I understand the parable of the talents, it's not going to work without purpose. And a couple closing verses here in Acts chapter 11. Verses 19 through 23. It says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And so this was Barnabas' exhortation to these new believers, that they would with purpose of heart cleave unto the Lord. And so I think, like Barnabas here, he understood without a purposed heart, you're probably going to get swayed like all those people that the Apostle Paul mentions in Timothy. If you go through the book of Timothy there, there's quite the list of different men that the Apostle Paul named who did not cleave unto the Lord. They didn't have a purpose. And if you don't have a purposed heart, you'll probably end up like one of those men. And so that's my exhortation this morning, that you would cleave unto the Lord. I think of one of David's mighty men. I think it was Eliezer, maybe. It says his he was in battle all day long, and his hand clave unto the sword. They couldn't open it up. Growing up, we did a lot of farming with horses, you know, and if you had a spirited team, and I remember sitting on a mower, you know, a couple hours in the morning, just hanging on with all my might, but after a couple hours, it was very painful to even try to open up your hands. I don't know if any of you ever experienced that. It's very, your hands clave to those lines. And that's a picture of cleaving to the Lord's. And I believe that's what Eliezer, that sword, his hand clave to the sword. And I want to give that picture. That's how we should, with purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. That we would not let go, but with a purpose heart. Don't let Satan frustrate your purposes. But, you know, if there's things get thrown, fight the battle through. We have all power, like I shared earlier. You know, and there's a package that comes with cleaving to the Lord, according to the parable of the talents there. You know, there Paul says this in 2 Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my manner, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my affliction." So there is a package that comes with cleaving to the Lord with a purposed heart. It's sound doctrine. It's a manner of life, a way of living, walking with God, and it's purpose. You need purpose, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction. And so I just want to encourage you all with that this morning, that have a purposed heart to serve the Lord with purpose. Not just if I have time or not, but purpose in your life. God bless you all, and thank you for listening.